you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, and we're departing from our study currently in the book of Nehemiah, but Pastor Jason has a message on his heart, and he'll help facilitate our discussion, but Tad Jagish will read Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 through 5.
Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Colossians 1, 1 through 5.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, October 25th, 2024. And as mentioned, we're going to be looking at the book of Colossians today and probably next week on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. And we appreciate Pastor Jason Schiffo for joining us and many of our regulars, Elmer and Gail Zules, Ron and Sharon Fernald, Tad Jagish, and Jim Gunther working the soundboard here. We appreciate it as we're broadcasting from Guitars and Cadillac Studio in Mahomet. And Pastor Jason Schiffo of the Community Evangelical Free Church of Mahomet will facilitate our discussion.
All right. Good to be together today. Are we all here?
We are.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, we're beginning in Colossians, and thanks, Tad, for reading that. We're going to start in chapter 1 and verse 3. Verses 1 and 2 is Paul's greeting. He's letting the people in the beginning of the letter know who he is, how he arrived in this. He says, by the will of God. So he's saying, listen, I'm not here because I necessarily, it's not that I don't want to be, but I'm not here because I want to be. I'm here because God has called me to be here. And I think that's really an important thing for us to know, is that we exist and we live and we breathe and we move as Christians, not because we decided to become Christians, but because of the will of God. Because he sent Jesus to do what we couldn't do ourselves so that we could come into his presence and enjoy the inheritance as sons and daughters. And that's why Paul goes then to verse 3 and he says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he begins and he says, listen, we begin by thanking God. And who is God? He's the same Father. He's the same God who brought about salvation for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, we always thank God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we what? When we pray for you. It's really interesting the way the book of Colossians begins, because does anybody know one of the reasons or one of the primary reasons that Paul is writing to the church at Colossae, the church of the Colossians? Does anybody know?
No.
There was a heresy there. There was a problem that was happening. There was a way where the gospel that had been communicated by Paul had been twisted. And so Paul is writing because there is something that needs to be addressed. There's an elephant in the room. But before Paul gets to the elephant in the room, what does he do?
Thanks God.
He thanks God. I don't know about you, but whenever you're dealing with a problem or you're dealing with something that's difficult or you're dealing with something that you didn't want to have to deal with, do you begin with the problem or do you begin with thanks?
Usually with the problem.
Yeah, you usually begin with the problem. You want to address the problem. We use language like, let's get right to the point.
Yes.
And before Paul gets to the point, Paul begins by being thankful. I think that Paul does this for a couple of reasons. I think Paul does it, first of all, because he is thankful for them. The second thing is that he wants to make sure his heart is right as he enters into this conversation with them. Mm-hmm. And so he says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Even in the midst of this heresy and this problem within this church, Paul doesn't stop praying for them. Paul doesn't withdraw his intimacy with God on their behalf because of a problem that exists. In fact, Paul is probably leaning in even more, but he's not simply praying, hey, Lord, fix them. He's praying, Lord, thank you for them. And in the same way, Paul's actually praying, I'm thanking you, God, in this strange and inexplicable way that I am in the middle of this problem. I'm sure all of us would rather be problem-free than problem-full, right?
Yes.
But yet in the midst of this problem, Paul is saying, I'm thankful. Why? Verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. He's saying, listen, there's a problem. There's something we have to talk about, but I'm just so thankful that you know who Jesus is. I'm so thankful that we can have a conversation about who Jesus is and a corrective conversation around what Jesus has called us to be because you know who Jesus is. Imagine this conversation would be entirely different if he was writing a letter to people who didn't know who Jesus was. But he's talking to people who are believers. So he begins by saying, I'm thankful that we get to have this conversation because you're Christians. Because we talk to each other differently. In fact, I think we talk to each other sometimes even more intentionally because of it. And he says, because of the hope that we have laid up in heaven, the hope you have laid up for yourselves in heaven. It made me think of this verse in 1 Peter chapter 1, which says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the gospel. That's what Paul's talking about right here, the faith in Jesus Christ. But then he says this, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and kept in heaven for you, who by God's power is being guarded through faith for a salvation yet to be revealed in the last time. He says, we are all wrapped up in this hope that is undefiled, that is unfading, that is being kept in heaven by God's power. There is no expiration date on this thing that we've got going on. It's not going to run out. It's not going to run out. And it can't be taken by anybody because God is guarding it by his power. Paul's trying to set up for them a high understanding of the gospel and this thing that they've been called to. How is Paul going to deal with the problem at Colossae? He's going to raise the bar on their understanding and their remembrance of who they're supposed to be. In fact, next week when we talk about this, we're going to talk about the supremacy of Christ. Why? Because nothing will right the ship better than you having the right perspective and understanding of who Jesus is. And then he says this, going on in verse 5, he says, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel. So this is what I was saying. This is the gospel message that Jesus Christ came and he lived and he died and he rose again, that he is seated at the right hand of the Father. This is the corrective they need against all the other false things that they've been hearing about. By the way, this isn't new news. If anybody's listening to this and they're like, yeah, but you know what? This is 2024 and that was wow, way back when. Heresies abound today. There are all kinds of messages about who Jesus is, what Jesus came to do, what Jesus is, floating around today, and most of them have nothing to do with the Jesus of the Bible. And so when we read about this church in Colossae, they're a lot like us, to be honest with you. They need to be reminded who they are and the work that God did, and that work is undefiled and unfading and is being kept in heaven by God's power. They need to live out of that confidence and not fearfulness about what's happening in the world around them. They need to be reminded of who Jesus is. And so that's why Paul, first of all, begins with that, and then he goes to the gospel, the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you as indeed in the whole world that is bearing fruit and increasing as it comes, as it also does amongst you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. He's saying, listen, I want you to be reminded of who you are and not only who you are, but whose you are. I want you to be reminded of this thing that you've been called to, the way you've been called to live and to move and to breathe in the world. How many of us, is that a struggle at times? I mean, let's just be honest. Paul had to tell his listeners not to be of this world. Why? Because as we live and move in this world, it's very easy to get wrapped up in this world.
Yes, it is.
It's very easy to seek the approval of the world. We ought to be honest about that, because if you're not honest about the struggle, then you're never going to get near the victory.
Yes.
So you have to be honest about the things that are difficult, the things that are hard. I had a meeting with a group of guys earlier this week, and that's what we talked about, is that we need to be honest about what the struggle is, because the struggle is real. And in our honesty of what the struggle is, God wants to meet us in that and help us to overcome in those areas. And so Paul says, he's calling him, he says, do you remember when you first heard the gospel, when you first understood the grace and truth of God? Do you remember that day? He says, let's go back there. In fact, in the book of Revelation, when John is writing to the church of Ephesus, what does he say to them? It's really kind of fascinating. He writes to them and he says, you guys are doing so good in some areas. You guys rebuke evil, and you guys are able to spot false apostles, and you're able to do all these things. And if we only look at the one verse in Revelation chapter 2, we go, this church is amazing. I want to attend there. And then we get to the next verse, and the next verse says, but you've lost your first love. What John writes to the church in Ephesus then in Revelation and says is you're doing so many things right, but you forgot who you're doing it for. You forgot who you're in love with. You forgot me. The church at Colossae, that's their problem. Because that's how we arrive at false places, don't we? Because we forget the truth. So Paul is calling them back to the truth. In fact, John writes to that church in Revelation and he says, remember how far you have fallen and then return back from where you once started. He says, remember how it was when you first heard about Jesus. I mean, I'd love to hear from you guys. What was it like that when you first heard about Jesus, when you first accepted him as your Lord and Savior? What was life like?
I was pretty little at that time. But I accepted it because of my folks, my mother and father. So we accepted it as truth.
Okay. Anyone else?
I was at a Jesus rally in Chicago, and Dale Evans Rogers was speaking. I don't know what she said. I don't remember. But I accepted Jesus, and life was wonderful for a few weeks.
Yeah.
It was so
It was joyful. Exciting, wasn't it?
It was exciting, yes.
Anybody else? Was that your testimony? You heard about Jesus, and then all of a sudden you're like, I can't get this Bible out of my hands. I can't stop praying. I can't stop doing this. And then, over time, you allow the world to domesticate your following of Jesus, and you're like, well, you know, I'm excited about Jesus on Sunday. I'm excited about Jesus during the Bible study. I'm excited about Jesus in my private time. Mm-hmm. Well, what happened between that first moment when you were unstoppable with the power of the gospel and now when you're like, yeah, I mean, I love Jesus, but I don't want to offend anybody. I mean, listen, the gospel is offensive mm-hmm. on its own. Paul's very honest about that. I think we need to realize that, because listen, all of us, if we're not careful, are going to lose a little bit of that zeal that we have. And sometimes the loss of that zeal causes us to arrive in places that we ought not be in. Places where there is a lack of the truth and heresy abounds. And then he says in verse 7, just as you learn from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. So he says, listen, you learned about Epaphras. Here's a testimony of a guy who you can be like. He come and told us that you love Jesus. What's going on? Come on, guys. Verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. When I hear that verse 10, so to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, it reminds me of Romans chapter 8, where Romans chapter 8 tells us to keep in step with the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, that we need to use these two ears that we have and listen to what the Spirit says and to be guided by the Spirit. Because what's happening subtly at this church in Colossae is they're forsaking listening to the Spirit, because there's no way you're going to wander into stuff that isn't true, wander into heresy, and not have the Spirit go, hey, 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 that's not where you ought to be. I mean, has anybody in here ever done something or been somewhere or something's happened where you felt that little nudge on your shoulder like, this is not where you should be? That's the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit saying, hey, not a good idea here. Somehow they have developed a kind of deafness to the Spirit. Paul wants to call them back to walk in the Spirit, what he calls this fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. This reminds me of the beautiful prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul says, for this reason I bow on my knees before the Father of heaven and earth, that you might be strengthened out of his great mercy, his great power. It's not about yours, it's about his. And he says this, for all endurance and patience with joy. Because when you wander into untruth, when you wander into heresy, you lose joy. Why? Because you lose sight of Jesus.
Yeah.
And then he says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. What Paul is really doing here is he's just calling them back home. He's saying you've wandered. And he doesn't, do you notice in here, I don't see any condemnation, do you?
Mm-mm. No.
No, it's very positive. He's encouraging them and he's not unloading on them.
Yeah. So does anybody look at this and they go, I've never really done it this way.
Just that very thing.
I mean, my kids would love if my parenting looked like this.
Yes.
And I really do think that this is a better way, isn't it?
Yes.
What if we came to the people that we disagree with or who have departed from or their struggles with, and we say, listen, I'm not here right now to condemn you. I'm here to ask if you might remember what it was like when you first met Jesus. If you might remember what it was like when you had that Bible open and you were reading all about who God is and understanding who he is. I just want you to know that I'm praying for you right now. And I'm asking God to do the work that I'm not probably going to be able to do. I don't know about you, but I've never really sat down with somebody and won the debate. I might have been able to share some wisdom. I might have been able to do that. But it's always God who does any heart-changing work.
That's right.
I've never argued a heart back into the right place. God's always been the one who's done the work. And I really think when I read this beginning of the letter of Colossians, that's what Paul is really conveying to them and to us, is that God's the one who did the initial work of salvation, and it's God's the one who's going to have to do the work of reconciling them. And how does he say that God's going to do that? That God's going to give them spiritual wisdom and understanding so that they can see where they're wrong and where they departed from and where they need to go back to. And that from that, they're going to bear good fruit and they're going to increase in the knowledge of God. He actually thinks that this bad situation is actually going to benefit them because they're going to increase in the knowledge of God by understanding how easy it was or how they have departed. And then they're going to be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. That maybe this place that the Colossian church finds themselves in is actually going to be a real benefit for them. It's no good that they wound up there. But from this point forward, Paul says, this can be a great benefit to you. You're going to come out of this with more knowledge, strength, being closer to God by realizing how easy it was to stray from him. And at this moment, it might actually be a really beautiful moment if they would allow it to be. And then I go back to verse 9. Paul says, I think Paul's really saying in verse 9, he's saying, by the way, I'm just going to keep praying for you. I'm not going to give up on praying for you. I'm not going to grow silent because this has taken a little bit of time to happen. I'm going to keep praying for you. And so I wanted to look at this today because I think that we all have somebody or know somebody who's like the Colossian church, who's maybe departed to the left or the right a little bit. Those aren't political words. That's, I'm just saying left or right. And we need to engage them in the same way that Paul engages here. In fact, when Paul began, and you read in the beginning there, Paul says, this is Paul by the will of God, and then he says, grace and peace. I don't think that Paul thought that was just a good intro to his letters. I think he actually lives it. He wants to, as much as it depends on him, to maintain peace, and he wants to lead with grace, even when judgment is deserved.
You know, Jason, I wrote down three different things, as is my tendency, but the verse 3 where it says, we give thanks to God, and I thought about the Lord's Prayer, and you mentioned it on the front end of the program that we should begin when we go before God on behalf of people or just when we celebrate God, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that we praise him, we give him thanks. It's kind of the model of the Lord's Prayer. And then I wrote, they had their focus diluted. Oftentimes, we can get so caught up in our career or our family or our work or whatever it is that we lose that first love. Mm-hmm. We forget about God. It dilutes what he wants to do in and through us. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, the first love, that they, like us, we can forget what it's like to receive that salvation, to recognize ourselves as sinners lost. Mm-hmm. And that's where I love to be around new believers, because they have that zeal and that zest and that passion. And it's so important for us to be in community with others, because as they come to know the Lord, it really rejuvenates our own faith journey too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree totally. I think that it's sometimes you get around them and you go like, wow, these people are a little crazy. And then you remember and you go, I remember when I was that crazy. I remember when you couldn't get that, like I said, you couldn't get the Bible out of my hand. You couldn't, I wanted to know, tell me when the church is open, because I want to be there, you know. And then now, however many years later, you're like, it's really hard just to get there on Sunday. You know, and to realize and recognize that, maybe for some of us, our prayer is, Lord, make me zealous for your goodness like I was on that first day.
And like you said, extending the love to those that aren't there yet. Well, thank you, Pastor Jason. Wonderful things to look at. Listening friend, open up the book of Colossians this weekend or today. Be prepared for church. Be rested on Saturday night so you can hear the word of God preached and proclaimed, because God wants you to know his plans and purposes for your life. And it's knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. It's understanding his word. It's walking in step with his spirit, worshiping the great God that is revealed through the Bible, through the written record that he wants us to know about him. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.